Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Mark and Sarah talk about songs. They talk about songs.
Ho, ho, ho. That line reading is a signal of what we'll be talking about today on Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs. I am your co-host, Mark Blankenship, and with me, as always, is the Santa to my claws, Sarah D. Bunting. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
I guess since you have the cats, I should have put that the other way around. So this is our second ever Christmas episode. Listeners, you might remember that back in year one, we did an episode titled Naughty and Nice Christmas Songs. And you can go back into the archives and find that. It still holds up, I say. And we wanted to return to Christmas this year, 2018, with a different twist. So, Sarah, what is our Christmas twist for this year?
I forget how we arrived at this, but our twist is that these are Christmas songs that are sad or, I guess, bittersweet or like plaintive, rueful. They're not just like straight up sad, and we'll talk a little bit about the nuance there when we get into the songs. But in the first iteration of a Christmas episode that we did, I believe we spoke about Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming, and
we
talked about the fact that this relatively uniquely, I mean, I guess you can have relative uniqueness, but whatever. You know what? I've had a long day, and we're just going to blunder through the underbrush of the English language without hip waders on. Even that symbology doesn't work. Help me. Jesus, take the wheel. So we talked about the fact that that carol is unique among carols in that it contains the seeds of the tragedy of Jesus's mortal life in the song. Like many Christmas carols are like, hey, here's this bit. Isaiah's been talking about this kid for years. We're like, Isaiah, shut up already. When is this kid getting here? And then the baby comes and it's a miracle. And then the little drummer boy shows up and ruins everything. But that carol has a hush to it that is not entirely wonderment at this being that has finally come according to prophecy, but also seems to foretell the sadness for everyone who knew him as a human.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is this, I mean, the story of Jesus's death, even though it redeems all of humanity in theory, is quite like, it's really sad and weird and harsh. Like, I know God is God and everything, but you know, you sent your son down here and then you had to kill him off to set an example. It, like, the shit is kind of dark. So that's kind of the mindset, I think, of, or not the mindset, but there's a parallel with the songs that we're about to talk about, or at least the one that I brought to the table, in that there is, like, the holidays are, you know, fun, and there's presents and gingerbread and everything else, but there's also like really a lot of stress and conflict with your family of origin sometimes, and alienation from the good time that all the commercials are telling you should be having, complete with a bow on your Lexus. And that's kind of what I've always taken from the song that I selected. So, but before we get into that, maybe you want to talk a little bit about how this song reflects maybe the darker side of the season for you.
Right. And so my selection is, how to put this? Well, I feel like what I'd like to do with my selection, although we haven't yet heard a clip from yours, if you don't mind, I'd like to jump right into a clip from mine and then talk about it a bit.
I would love that.
Okay, this is a clip from the song When the River Meets the Sea from the television special Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Patience, my brother.
and patience, my sons. In that sweet and final hour, truth and justice will be done. Like a baby when it is sleeping in its loving mother's arms, what a newborn baby dreams is a mystery. But his life will find a purpose, and in time he'll understand when the river meets the sea.
So I don't know, Sarah, if you have ever seen Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. Is that one that you found on your television at any point?
I feel like they used to play it every year, and I probably saw it a couple of times, but we're going back to like the Carter administration for that. So
yes.
Yes, but this, I had no memory of this song at all.
So Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas used to come on Showtime or HBO One every year in the 80s, and I was obsessed with it. It was my favorite Christmas special. It has since become a huge part of my family's tradition. We watch it every year. I went and to see it when it was turned into a musical, a stage musical. I have gotten my photos taken with the original Emmett Otter and Ma Otter puppets, and the song that you hear is sung by Ma Otter, who is a poor woman of the river, and her son Emmett is doing the harmony vocal there. And they don't have any money, and they are still making it work. They are refusing to let their spirits be dampened, despite the fact that they struggle to get by in this river town that they live in. And they're very cute. I don't know if you had a chance to look at the video that I sent you, but I just think these puppets are adorable.
Oh, I was instructed to watch the video because the visuals were very important to receiving the song. So yes, I watched it.
When little Emmett takes his hat off in the bed, he's so cute.
They were very cute.
But I have always found this song, I mean, maybe not when I was six, but, you know, since I developed a more mature understanding of my own emotions, I've always found this song to be very touching, because it is not in any specific way a Christmas song, other than the fact that it happens in a Christmas special. But it's contemplative, and I like to be contemplative at Christmas time. The lyrics are about the fact that we're all going to eventually pass on from this world. In the first verse, you hear the lyric, "When the mountain touches the valley, all the clouds are taught to fly, as our souls will leave this land most peacefully, though our minds be filled with questions and our hearts will understand when the river meets the sea." There's just this sense of, you know, life is full of mysteries, and then life is over, and we'll get it, or one day, or we won't know what's going on, one or the other. And there's just something about the gracious acceptance of that in this song that I have always found quite touching and lovely, but also the fact that the song is acknowledging that life is over, and that life is also filled with mysteries that we cannot comprehend. What a newborn baby dreams, for instance, in the verse that we just heard. So I, as we were talking about in last week's Brandi Carlile episode, always respond quite strongly to songs in which the emotion feels a bit rueful. And to me, there is something very perfect about this for Christmas time, because Christmas comes at the end of the year. Christmas, as you were just saying, is about the inevitable death of someone. Jesus is a someone, sure. And I don't know. I just feel like,
spoiler, that just, someone is Jesus.
With a capital S. But I feel like that to me is a bit more moving than the cheery uplift of a Here Comes Santa Claus. Although I'm not mad at those songs, obviously, but at the end of the day, the song I'm going to reach for is this song, and that's why I wanted to bring it to the table.
I think that it, sort of in the larger context of Emmett Otter's you know, Jug Band Christmas, and perhaps some of the otters questioning why they can't have nice things at Christmas, that this is, in a special that is for children, a pretty bold choice.
Yeah.
To be like, well, I don't know why some people are poor and other people are rich. That's just one of those things that until we find ourselves at cloud flight school, which, by the way, I love that lyric. Like, just all the, like, imagining all the little clouds learning is really cute. When they're just little puffs of smoke that they're like, how do I do this? And then poof, they have
that
to
sounds
keep
like
trying.
It's like a Pixar short waiting to be created.
It totally is. It's like a sequel to the, they did do one about clouds and birds a few years ago for Up, I think.
Yes, you're right.
But this is also, like, I found myself frustrated, let's face it, by the fact that this was not arranged and performed by our patron saint, Alison Krauss. Because there's something about these two voices that, like, don't go together, and it was just, like, kind of bugging me.
No, it's jarring. If you don't have a lifetime of experience with the special, even as I was pulling the clip, I was like, whew, whoever it is that's singing Emmett, whew, Lord, that's not a blend that's going on in that harmony right there.
Yeah, no, it's like post-accident Bob Dylan and one of the Caucasian American girls in the a cappella groups at university trying to step to Aretha.
Yes.
Both singing a funeral hymn. So there were a lot of sensations, and a couple of them were not great, but I just kept reminding myself, like, folks, these are little animal puppets wearing, like, Appalachian holler outfits and singing this song about, like, cheer up, kids, maybe you only got, like, one piece of whorehound candy in your stocking, but at least there's life after death, and then you'll know everything. Like, what?
You've just switch. Described my drag aesthetic, by the way.
Oh, I know. Otter, I hardly even know her.
No.
I'm sorry. Ba-doom-tsh. My drag aesthetic is apparently the 1930s Catskills. I regret nothing. This is really a very 70s thing that is happening artistically, that it's like, let's just go there, like, with puppets at Christmas. Like, just a reminder to put it all in perspective, resurrection awaits the saved. And you're like, I just wanted a fucking Atari. Why am I having this conversation? Oh, God.
As you open your new copy of Chutes and Ladders, just recall that one day all our spirits will have flown.
Yes. Truth and justice awaits the wicked and the good alike.
Does that mean I put red? Or do I put my...
So do I have to let my baby sister play with me or not? Just
and do
simple
I put
yes or no? I don't need a rhyming couplet.
And also, Dad, could you spin the spinner? We've been in this twister pose for a really long time, and my leg is starting to hurt. Well, how about this for a segue, Sarah? This song, like all the songs in Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, was written by Paul Williams, author also of The Rainbow Connection, and of The Carpenters' We've Only Just Begun, which you might recall was the theme of an episode of this very podcast. So from Emmett Otter to Paul Williams to The Carpenters, that brings us back to your selection. And I still don't think that you have let the listeners in on the secret of which Carpenters' Christmas song you have selected. So please, we're all dying of anticipation. Do let us know.
Well, I kept Mark in accidental suspense about this until like 5 minutes before he was going to prepare it, because I thought the Karen Carpenter song that I thought was so meta and sad was I'll Be Home for Christmas. It is, in fact, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I do think, generally speaking, especially the classic Bing Crosby standard version of I'll Be Home for Christmas is very sad and self-pitying and like, oh, I'll be there. except I might be a ghost or just daydreaming because I'm, you know, drunk at home and I can't afford to get there, or, you know, I got hit by a trolley car. Who the fuck knows?
Or because the martinets who run our government have treated me like a toy in their war.
Yeah, exactly.
Merry Christmas, kids.
No, I'm face down in the PX in the, you know, demilitarized zone in Korea. Enjoy that. Enjoy those candy canes.
Have you ever seen a foot with gangrene?
My boots filled with blood.
Let the Grinch steal that.
There is always something sad, I think, about Karen Carpenter that is probably 65 to 70% knowing how it all ended for her. And the fight that she had to, like, the battling she had to do just to stay in her own life, so to speak. So I think we, like, assign a sadness that she may not have intended. But there's also a little bit of, there's like an undertone of rue in Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, generally. When I was re-listening to this to prepare, I had forgotten how hectic this arrangement is. So I apologize in advance that you're like, where are those strings coming from? It is actually in the clip. It's, you know, it's not traffic noise. So here's a clip. And then, Mark, I'd love to hear if you are getting that same sort of, like, soaked in the rum of human sadness effect that I hear in it.
The fates allow, hang your shining star above the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little
while you still can, before everyone gets divorced and goes their separate ways.
You know, it is the most vintage thing imaginable to me that to have a song suddenly be augmented by a backing choir and the women are singing way up high and there's men stretching out those bass notes. It's like from the 40s. It's like the Carpenters got the Andrews sisters in there to help them out. But I have often thought that Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is in that category, get out your Mastis bingo cards, everyone, where the sound of the song and the content of the lyrics don't seem to match, because
right.
Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is a very slow, sad sounding song. And it's very interesting, the tension that creates, because it's like your drunk aunt is saying, have yourself a Merry Little Christmas, because I myself will be having myself a merry little fourth glass of eggnog.
Yes. Or have the merry little Christmases that you can now before everybody dies, gets transferred to a town we can't get to, stop speaking because of the fourth eggnog incident of 1974, or what have you. That the lyrics, I wonder if this is not like a self-fulfilling thing, at least in my case. But the lyrics don't necessarily sound sad at the beginning of the song, but then there is this sense of warning in both. I mean, she just has the most beautiful voice, too, but it's like, this is a, you know, this is not a peppy, this is not a peppy person. This was not a peppy story. And there's just something about the delivery, like even this arrangement, which I think is trying hard to be like, you know, we're shedding tears of happiness that we're all together. But what I'm hearing is dot, 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 because, it, you know, it'll be like that scene. I think it's in Longtime Companion, where there'll just be these time jumps and then characters are just gone because they died.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Which, Merry Christmas, listeners. Wait, Jesus Christ.
I'm being
so depressing today.
But if you recall, the VHS collection at the house where we were for my birthday included Longtime Companion.
Yes.
There are no accidents.
I mean.
But here's. Yes.
I think about that a lot, though. And then that the final scene is, of course, that they're all back. So it's like the ghosts of Beach Christmas Past. As you may have defined, fans of the podcast, frequently I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about or even what I'm going to say next. This is one of those times. But I think there is that coexisting, like, happiness and contentment, but also not anxiety exactly, but just acknowledgement, kind of like in the first song we talked about, that all things must pass, good and bad.
And
so
call me a rose-colored glass-wearing old Pollyanna so-and-so in a simple gingham skirt.
I have called you that. I was nicer about it than that.
I feel one of the reasons that these songs are satisfying is because in articulating this certain melancholy, they remind us to also pay attention to the happiness that we have while we have it.
Yes, and I agree.
And it's like Emily in the third act of Our Town. Get out your Mastiff, get out your Mark Blankenship bingo card. But, you know, it's valuable to acknowledge that nothing in life is ever one thing or another. And if we allow ourselves to sing a song or be moved by a song about life's fleeting quality, then we can perhaps end the song by looking around and thinking, oh, shit, this is happiness as it's happening. Like, I am not going to wait to be rueful to appreciate what I have right now. And I think that though we may not say it, that might be one of the reasons that we value songs like this at Christmas time, because songs like this kick our asses a little bit and remind us, no matter where we are, to just take stock and be grateful for things. And maybe we're alone in our apartment and all we've got for Christmas is a fifth, but there is still something that you could possibly look at in your life.
Is it a fifth of Beethoven? Because I'm content.
I'd be happy. But, you know, just let's make sure that we look up from whatever it is that we're doing this Christmas and remember to just be grateful for whatever it is. There's always something that you can be grateful for, even if things feel immeasurably awful. There is actually something that you can be grateful for, and that doesn't mean that it's going to eradicate the existence of the things that make you sad, but it is important to remember that the things that we are grateful for provide a balance, and that there is always something, even if it's just the fact that this breath came in and then that breath went out, like, that's not nothing, and maybe it mitigates to some extent some of the other stuff, and singing about the existence of that other stuff is a way of hopefully putting it in perspective or in balance.
Well, there's also this aspect, you know, in like the video that plays in my mind during the Karen Carpenter song, or the Carpenters, excuse me, sorry, Richard, that the lyric isn't "have yourself the most fandiferous, fantastic, perfect, gigantic Christmas ever with a, you know, giant red bow on an SUV in the driveway." It's "have yourself a merry little Christmas." Like, just, you know, stop, take a breath, and be happy for what is. And which is what you were just saying. And it's not even like gratitude. It's just like, all right, everybody calm down. Like, it's one day. Look around you on this day and realize that, you know, the next Christmas is going to be a little different from this. And some people will come and some people will go. And there's an element of appreciating your found family and wherever you find yourself on Christmas that definitely has been made hay with in very special Christmas episodes of television for years and years. Like every December episode of ER involved this narrative in some way, I would say, that it's like, here we all are together, you know, eating like Christmas candy out of a bedpan. Like, okay, cool. Like, that's the life you chose. And then they all sort of exchange like, you know, this should be bullshit, but we're actually pretty happy looks. And that's kind of the like up note for me in this song. That's like, you know, however bad it is and however lonely you are, like, then the next day it's over at least, and it's the Boxing Day sales and you sort of get back to your regular life. But that these songs have us contemplate the like death and rebirth questions that are supposed to be the reason for the season, it's not a bad thing.
Agreed. So that reminds me, A, I'm grateful for this podcast, and B, eventually we will both die.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree.
Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs is hosted by Mark Blankenship and Sarah D. Bunting and edited by Sarah D. Bunting. That's me. Need to talk to Mark and Sarah about song requests, ads, or birthday readings? Email us at talkaboutsongs@gmail.com, tweet us at TalkSongs, or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/mastass.podcast. To become a supporter and producer of the podcast, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/mastass. And as always, thank you for listening.
Mark and Sarah talk about songs. They talk about songs.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.